Now on Food FM, you're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon. Caroline and her guests make sense of the world through food, from politics to farming, making and cooking.
Online, on smart speakers and on Listen Again, this is Food FM.
Welcome to our latest edition of Bread and Butter. I have two wonderful guests with me today. We're going to be discussing the winning images of Pink Lady Food Photographer of the Year 2022. My two guests are Liz Galbraith and Emma Slight. Emma, tell us about yourself.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you. So I'm the head of food content for Marks & Spencer. So part of my job is leading on the creative direction of all of our lovely food photography. So I am very lucky in the sense that I get to work with a whole host of very talented food photographers. And essentially making our food look lick the screen delicious is basically the brief.
Sounds like a great brief. And Liz, tell us about you.
Hi, Caroline. I'm Liz Galbraith. I'm a creative director with many years of art directing and commissioning photography. And I spent 20 years as creative director of the BBC Good Food brand, commissioning photography and steering the visuals of the behemoth that is BBC Good Food. And I also created and launched Olive magazine.
Goodness, what a great heritage both of you have. It's wonderful. So I think we're going to have, dare I say it, a lot to get our teeth into today. I've asked you both, it's a bit like a party game, to choose two images from our winning images this year to talk about. So who'd like to go first? Who's jumping up and down? Liz, why don't you tell us why you've chosen one of your two images?
The first image I like to talk about is the winner of the Politics of Food category. And the title of it is Where Dreams Fly Away. It's by K.M. Assad from Bangladesh. And the description is, a little girl collects water with her older sister in the Chad Udan slum in Dhaka, Bangladesh in September 2021. And this is an absolutely fascinating image. So we're already, on glancing at it, challenged by the breathtakingly direct stare into the camera of the child. And so directly to us, the viewers, and the child is right in the centre of the frame. The high viewpoint angle of the lens emphasises the piercing quality of her gaze. And it's such, I think, such a clever and restrained composition where KM Assad has not been afraid to keep the figure relatively small within the entire frame. And this draws us in to look at her more closely. I find it interesting that each colour in the image is defining its own part of the image. So there's the mainly petrol blue of the water, the bright red of the pot she's holding, and then there's the soft brown of her skin and the black of her hair. And then there's just little spots of yellow coming in, which are the only decorative element, both on her dress, and there's that shining brass amulet around her neck. Obviously, the most powerful part of this picture is, of course, the child's face. And it's a strong, challenging, and inquiring face. And as I look into, you know, she's beautiful. I can see her astonishing beauty. There's the almond-shaped eyes, the lovely long eyelashes, and the little rosebud mouth. So she's got a really gorgeous face. And I'm sort of reminded of Steve McCurry's famous Afghan girl picture for National Geographic in the 1980s, which has a similar dramatic beauty to it and a direct gaze. So the little girl, she's holding the water pot confidently. She knows what she's doing. Tiny hands are gripping the rim. And there's the, beneath her head, the concentric circles of the pot, the black centre, the silver rim, the red body, for me, echo the roundness of her head above. And the contrast between the silver rim and the black opening is where my eye goes after her face. And that's, again, a clever use of composition. As I'm finding, my eye bounces back and forth from the pot to her face. So KM Assad is really telling the story here that there's her face in the pot, that's what she's doing. And because the centre of the picture is also where all the colour is, our interest is kept on her. But she is standing in water, and that is surrounding her. And there's a lot of visual movement in the water, and we can see some debris floating, and I can see what looks a bit like an old bag under the surface. But because of the strong composition, the water doesn't claim the entire centre stage of the picture. In terms of a successful photograph, there's so much here to congratulate KM Asad for. But also, I'm reminded that this is the winning image in the politics of food category, and it's also a shocking image. This is a very young child collecting water from a clearly heavily polluted source. And the pot looks like it's almost the same size as her. And her knowledge and confidence in what she, as a very young child, is doing really shocks me. It's a very, for me, a very successful picture on many levels, the colour palette, the composition, the lighting, and, of course, the message.
Thank you, Liz. That was an absolutely wonderful exposition on this image. Emma, how do you respond to it?
I think I respond to it slightly differently. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I think you're right about the composition. Your eye is forced to the very centre of the picture. I do find myself looking at the background a little more than perhaps you, Liz, and I don't know why. I think it's just because it's difficult to discern what it is, and it looks vaguely dreamlike and watercolour in the way it's rendered. And I know you pointed out the debris in the plastic bag, but it also looks like sort of smudge of sky behind it or a reflection of clouds, and it's quite an intriguing background. I think the reason it's so arresting is they picked a really, really interesting angle on it. And it's very rare that you see photography sort of shot straight down, looking down into the eyes of somebody. Obviously very much accentuates the stature and the fragility of the child in the frame. So I think that by its own omission makes it very, very shocking in the sense that it makes her look potentially even smaller than she is. But I don't know. And it's the textures of the picture that make it so successful. It's that wishy-washy in the very sense of the term, isn't it? When it's watercolour blown water behind her and beneath her, but also the pot, the shiny, shiny silver rim that's probably been washed a million times, but that beaten up exterior with the great big dent in it on the side where it's clearly been dropped, and that sort of dusting of rust. It almost looks like a mushroom, the way it's so red and bulbous, but you do just keep coming back again and again to that gaze, and I can't figure her out. I can't tell if she's angry or melancholy or thoughtful. I really don't know, and I think that's what makes me come back to this picture again and again, to sort of look at her and wonder, what on earth does she think of this person peering over her with the camera?
Yes, I completely agree with you, Emma. It's her gaze is so compelling. I mean, I obviously have to declare my interest here as the director of Pink Lady Food Photographer of the Year. And although I'm not on the overall judging panel as you two are, and so grateful for your expertise and your input every year, but I do sit on the shortlisting panel, and people often say to me, what is it that makes a picture go through? What are you looking for? And I always say, for me, it's a picture that makes me feel something. And my goodness, this makes me feel in spades, because her gaze, you can't take your eyes off her. Really, you know, she's such a powerful little personality in that, or big personality in that little body. And I find it really striking. And you think, I mean, I think it's taken in Bangladesh, but you think, you know, if this child had been born into a different family, you know, this could be the future Prime Minister of Bangladesh. There's such a force there.
Yeah, I think that's the intriguing thing about her gaze. And I think I mentioned that you just don't quite know. It's slightly challenging, and it's you know, you really don't know. It's strong and challenging and inquiring. There's no fear there, obviously, at all.
I just want to know what she sort of said after this picture. What happened next? And that, I think, is for me a successful picture, where you sort of lose yourself in the story behind it and the narration that it gives you.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on, because we've got lots of pictures to talk about. Emma, tell us about one of the pictures that you've chosen.
Well, from one girl to another then. So one of my absolute favourites from this year is, and I find it quite haunting, it's a beautiful picture. It's the winner of the Claire Aho Award. So it's called At the Table by Marguerite Alefsa. It's from South Africa, and it's an extraordinarily calm but very moving picture of a young girl just sitting at a table, wearing a very brightly patterned jacket and a white t-shirt, playing with some orange peel next to a huge bunch of flowers in front of a sort of an orange sunset glow of a wall. And it's really simple. She's just sitting there and she's looking down at her orange peel, but there's something extraordinary in the way this is shot. It's very, very painterly. And I think the photographer themselves, Marguerite, so she talks about her painterly aesthetic when she takes her pictures. So it's obviously celebrating African heritage, which is an absolutely beautiful thing to see. But there's something about that, those bold colours, that richness and that extraordinary glow that she gets into her pictures that make them quite magical. They do look like they've been lit by an inner light within, or an extra suffusion of glow. There's a beautiful highlight on the girl's forehead that just, it's pearlescent and opalescent across her face. And she just sort of looks illuminated from within almost, which is incredibly difficult to do in a picture. And it lends itself again to that terribly delicate painterly aspect of it, where you could think someone had taken this picture and then painted over it to enhance the colour or make everything feel warmer or brighter. And they haven't. It's just the quality of the photograph she's taken. And I think it's sort of, the artist themselves talks about it and the photographer talks about it themselves. They say that they take inspiration from sort of French post-impressionistic art. So I think the photographer mentions Henri Matisse. And I definitely see this in this. It's that sort of that combination of colour and texture and depth. And every time I go back to it, I see something ever so slightly different. So you see a different flower in the bouquet, or you see a different sort of pattern on the jacket, or a different curl of orange peel, or a different shadow on the tablecloth. And I think for me, what I look for in pictures is, you're absolutely right, Caroline, you want them to do something to you. You want to feel something when you see them. You want to smell the food or hear the crackle of something cooking, or feel the emotion of the person in it. And I think for me, another aspect of a successful photograph is you just want to keep looking at it. And I could look at this all day. I think it's beautiful.
I agree with you. I find it incredibly touching. Liz, how do you respond to it?
I think the colour palette in this picture is astonishing. I absolutely love it. And those colours that Marguerite has used, you know, they're not kind of easy colours to handle. And there's a slight clash going on there, but she's absolutely pulled it off. So it's a very intriguing image in terms of the colour. You know, that draws me in. But I have to say, I do find it a bit staged. And I kind of know that's part of the point of it. I don't find it very relaxed. I know orange peel has been placed there. I don't think that's happenstance. And there's a bit of cutlery. And I slightly wish it was a bit less staged. And I'm not undermining the quality of the image. And I think you're right, Emma. You know, there's a glow on there that draws you back and back. But for me, I just would have preferred it to be a little less staged. But it's still gorgeous. It's still gorgeous. I love it.
There was a very touching response to this picture from Claire Aho's son, Yossi Brofeldt, who's the chair of the Aho and Soldan Foundation. And Yossi worked with his mother in Helsinki from the age of 10 in her photographer's gallery and helping her in her studio and so on. And he absolutely adored her. And he was so thrilled when this picture won the award, which is only its second year. He said, "You would not believe it. My mother's favourite colour was orange."
Oh, yes. I remember he said that. Yes. And that is a beautiful painted background, isn't it? I mean, that's a piece of work of art in itself, that background.
I almost forgive it for being staged. I don't mind, because I think to some degree most photography is very staged, even the ones that appear not to be staged. So I almost, even if you're sort of taking a picture of somebody collecting water, and I'm not talking about the picture before obviously, but if you get one of those sort of politics photographs where you just carry out with your daily business as I take pictures of you, and you're going to pick the most aesthetically pleasing one you get, I think to all degree there is an element of staging, and I let it go in this because I love it quite so much.
I think I'm with you, Emma, on this one, definitely. So Liz, let's go to your next picture.
The next image I've chosen to talk about is the winner of the Philip Harbin Award for Food in Action, and this picture is called Cook by Weining Lin from China. I love this picture. There is so much narrative going on, so much that intrigues me here. And there's so many things to look at. And of course, it's a great shot. So there's a man preparing some raw meat. And that's sort of where the straightforward story begins and ends. He's standing in front of a table next to a plaster wall. And we don't know if he's on what might be considered the inside or the outside of the wall, whether he's on the right or the wrong side. So, you know, that's another question mark that comes up. Most of the frame is taken up with the plaster wall and a mountain range behind it and the floor in the foreground. And interestingly, the markings and stains on the wall echo the craggy shapes of the hills, the mountains behind. And they're kind of both similar in texture and also in colour. So at first glance, it's hard to tell the difference between the top of the dusty, stained grey wall and the dusty, craggy hills beyond. And the floor is the same dusty grey. So these great swathes of neutral tones in the frame accentuate the figure in the image. So we've got the man at the table. He's concentrating, bent over and using his bare hands on the meat. And there's a lot of meat. So it could be a meal for a large family or a group of people. We don't know. He's wearing neutral grey. And another question, incongruously, he's wearing a floral skirted apron. So all the action in the picture is around the table. And it's an interesting table. It's a warm reddish brown wood. And it's got decorative battens at the top of the legs. And then under the table, there's a metal kettle. The lid is half off. And there's a large plastic bottle of something. I don't know what it is. But key to making this whole image work for me, there's a shaft of sunlight coming from the left. And this falls across the scene and creates initially a beautiful spare triangle of light on the side of the table. It illuminates the surface of the meat in the metal bowl and the man's hands working. And Waning Lin has used this sunlight to tell us where we should be looking, where the point of the story is. And to emphasize the contrast between the mass of neutral gray tones and textures and the active area of the food preparation. So the sunlight kind of warms up our, what you might call the narrative corner, and the red of the meat, the red of the flowers on the apron, the red brown of the table, even the man's flesh tone, all of this warm colouring breathes life into the picture, and it is the life of the picture. And then there's another intriguing thing going on. A little further along, leaning against the wall, is a spade. And I particularly like the fact that Waning Lin has kept this in. I'm not sure of the relevance to the scene, and it doesn't matter. It just indicates more the life out of the picture. So the choice to have the spade in the shot rather than remove it is indicative of the thinking that, for me, makes this a really great shot. It makes me question and wonder what's going on. It intrigues me. I want to know more. There's so many little hints of stories outside of the picture going on. The contrast between the detailed area of food preparation and the expanse of the wall and the landscape is so powerful. When you add in the little clues to the life beyond the image, they make it, for me, completely compelling. And the balance of tones and colours and the way that Waning Lin has used them, it makes this a really stunning picture.
I agree with you. I love so many things about it, just as you have beautifully described, Liz. Emma, you share with us how you respond to it.
I'm really, really pleased we're talking about this one today, because this is one of my favourites. On the face of it, it's so simple. And on the face of it, you're right, Liz, when you talk about the swathes of neutral tone, that's not often what gets to the final of a photography competition, because people are looking for bright, bold, big, something different, something distracting often in photography. And this is very quiet and it's very subdued almost, but it's still, I find, very pretty. I love his worn floral apron. I think it's so incongruous in shot. It just makes me laugh when looking at it. And I really enjoy the simplicity of just someone genuinely just carrying on with their everyday life. I think the shovel in the shot, I took a while trying to think, what on earth was that for? Is that an ablutions shovel, is it, where they buried the carcass of the animal? I don't know, that's very bleak. I probably shouldn't mention that, but it just sort of, I love those little incongruous moments in the picture, those kind of like anecdotal snippets of someone's daily life just being recorded for someone else to look at and analyse later. And of course, that symmetry of the mountains behind and the worn stone replicating the mountain scape behind it as it curves through the screen. I think it's a lovely shot, and honestly, it just makes me smile, and I don't know why, but it just makes me happy looking at this. That little ray of light and just a man making dinner makes me very happy.
Yes, it is a very happy picture. I think the things that strike me about it, not just all the things that you've both articulated so expressively. I mean, it looks like a lunar landscape almost, and yet there's a little antique table, which, you know, wouldn't be out of place in a smart antique shop somewhere in West London. And then he appears to be wearing an apron, which I don't know if you know, a fabric brand called Cabbages and Roses. But
looks, I thought it was a like, Cat Kidston. But yeah.
Yes, exactly. And you think, how did that happen? You know, there he is on the surface of the moon with his antique table and his Cat Kidston apron. How does that stack up? But and just there's something about his delicacy as well, the way he's handling things and the way he's stooped. Yeah. I find it very touching.
It's all those funny little things, isn't it? The Cabbages and Roses apron and the table and then the kettle underneath even, you know, with his lid half off. I love that. I love the fact that, you know, it's been used. So, yeah, it's so intriguing. What's going on?
It's funny, isn't it? Because we talked about staged photography. I mean, if you talk about placing an antique table next to a wall with a mountain behind it and putting a floral apron around someone and getting them to prepare food, it sounds like you're setting up for an Instagram shoot. But I actually genuinely believe that this was just something that the photographer stumbled across and went, oh, I'll take a picture of that.
I think there's a whole debate to be had about what constitutes a staged image, whether it's the law or rules or ethics. You know, now photographers do ask permission to take people's photographs, and as soon as there's a self-consciousness that's entering the shot, you know, where do you call it staged and where do you call it not? I think we could probably talk for hours about that one. Emma, let's go to your very own image, because that is the Marks and Spencer Food Portraiture winner.
I mean, it would be remiss of me not to talk through this one. Of course it would. But I mean, how could I not as well when you look at it? So this wonderful piece is a photograph called Watermelon and Feta Salad by an American photographer called Daniela Gearson. So she describes herself as a chef and a creative director and a stylist. But my favourite thing about the way she talks about herself and her work is she's taken it upon herself to make it her mission to convince the world that veggies are sexy. And I love that. I think her work is imbued by a bright, fun, playful, richly textured and coloured style. And I think this comes across incredibly well in this winning piece. So it is, well, if you're looking at it on any kind of screen, it's floor to ceiling colour. It's a delicate arrangement of different shades of watermelon and cubes of feta, all beautifully arranged, not perfectly, perfectly imperfectly arranged in lines, colour upon colour, cube upon cube, until it fills the entire frame, and then sort of artfully scattered petals, so purple basil and mint and za'atar and huge grinds of black pepper and salt, until all you can see is sort of stippling across all the surface of these beautiful, mouth-wateringly juicy little squares of goodness. And for me, it treads that really fine balance between art and food. Immediately when you do something geometric or like this, you're edging into that kind of food as display space, food as art rather than food for eating. But I think this really treads the balance, and I think she does it so masterfully between balancing geometric shapes, not completely perfectly arranged, different heights and different levels, slight imperfections in some of them as well, so none of them are all completely perfect squares. And the overall effect for me is just something that you want to eat. I think the photographer herself described this when she talked about it as, she just described it as adjectives, so crunchy, sweet, juicy, salty, briny, tangy, refreshing. I think that's a perfect description of how I feel when I see it and what I imagine this picture tastes like. And for me, food photography, that's my ultimate gold standard in food photography is, yes, is it beautiful, but do I want to put my hands in it? Do I want to put my face in it and eat it? And this picture does all of those for me. And I think it's an absolutely phenomenal piece of work.
That's so lovely. I love what you said. Liz, tell me how you feel about this one.
It's so pretty, isn't it? I just love it. And I like the way that the image bleeds right out of the picture. So you're all you see is the colour and the blocks of melon and the cubes. And it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. It's such a pretty, pretty image. And I agree. I like the irregularity of it. And I particularly like that because, you know, there is a temptation, and we all know it, to tweezer things. And I think they probably started with the tweezers, but then it all sort of started developing a life of its own. And I love that. And I love the way the leaves are tossed across it and the other bits that are going on. So, yeah, it's gorgeous. I love it. And equally, as you say, it makes me want to eat it. Absolutely right now. Thank you.
I think if you are, and what's wonderful is that you can actually see the stages of this photograph being built if you look at her Instagram channel, which I find fascinating. And you're absolutely right. It starts off looking slightly more controlled and measured, and then as the picture's depth deepens and more things go on it, it just becomes more an expression of fun. And I think, again, that's something that food should be. It doesn't always have to be serious. It can be delicious, but also a little bit of fun.
It is a very joyful picture, isn't it? I mean, I have to say it's almost all of my favourite colours. And I remember, I don't know if it might have been said in one of your judging sessions. I know, you know, when pre-COVID we used to meet in person at the judges' dinner and you would all go into a huddle after dinner and discuss. But I remember David Loftus said to me afterwards that one of the judges said, I don't like that picture because I don't like yellow. And it never occurred to me that somebody's response to a photograph could be affected by something so sort of deep and almost kind of visceral. But you know, I adore pink, I adore green, and you know, I just, and purple, you know, these are just the most wonderfully complementary colours. So I was going to like it, but I love it. So our very last picture, because I know that we could usually talk for hours and hours, is actually one that I have chosen. I was very amused that Liz said, that's a very you picture, Caroline. So I have chosen the winner of the MPB Food Influencers category, which is by Elisa Duchecci. And it's draining pasta by a window. I love it because all sorts of things. I love the mood. I love the sort of... this sort of gentleness of the woman's expression as she's draining her pasta. It's a sort of, there's a kind of, it feels loving that she's preparing food for her family, and this is something that means a great deal to her, to feed the people that she loves. I love the light. I think it's just so gentle in a way that it's falling from the window on her forearm and on her face. On the pasta, of course, which is so important. I love the colour palette. It's very muted, you know, quite different from our explosion of colour that we've just been talking about with the melon and feta. And it's painterly, to use a word that cropped up earlier in our conversation. You know, I feel this could have been painted in the 15th century. It could have been painted in the 18th century. And then here it is in the 21st century as a photograph. So that's my pitch. I love this image.
Liz, I'm interested to know why you thought Caroline would pick this one.
Caroline, I think, likes contrasting tones. She likes a lot. You tend to gravitate towards images that have quite a lot of dark in them with little spots of light, and that certainly fulfills these categories. And I think, Caroline, you like metal, don't you?
I think I'm guilty as charged.
For me, I can spot a Caroline image. I love it too, but I think for me it's light. I think you're absolutely right. You like a sort of a gentle directional light, sort of Caravaggio-esque painterly quality to it.
I absolutely do. No, you are so right. But how do you both feel about it as a picture?
I really love this image. In fact, I was, when we were doing our final voting, I was dodging around on my voting sheet with this one, and it's a great shot. And what I love is the simplicity of it. It's just that snapshot of a moment, but actually it's more than a snapshot. It's a really well put together photograph. And as you point out, Caroline, you know, the pasta is the thing that is the colour in the image, and really part of the image that's well lit. And there's all the story that's going on behind it. I think it's lovely. And to have a composition where a third of the picture, the left third of the picture, is just a sort of grey streak, diffused light, is, you know, it's a great way to handle a picture. I love it.
I think it's done a brilliant job of making something very difficult look really, really easy. And I think that's testament to the photographer, because you look at it with one eye and just think, oh, that's a wonderful snapshot of domestic life, as we said. You look at it from a photographer's eye and you say, good God, that's a composition. And I think I sort of think kudos to the creator of it for that. And I particularly love catching the edge of steam that you just get in diffusing into the light that comes from the top of the pan as she pours, and going over her hand and forearm and sort of blending into the light from the window. I think it's just a really, and it almost looks like she's breathing condensation as well, like it might be cold in the kitchen as well. I just think it's those tiny little soft touches to it that make it quite special.
What a lovely summation from you both. You're both so articulate, and I could listen to you for hours and hours. We could go through all 180 finalist pictures if you like, but I think that is all we have time for today. Thank you both so much. Well, one, for being on the judging panel, and two, for taking part in this fabulous and rich smorgasbord of a conversation today.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.